Hello, everyone. Welcome. It's time again for Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord for a new day. Every day is a brand new day full of new opportunities. And I love when the Holy Spirit speaks from the heart, giving us His wisdom, His answers, direction, guidance, even courage. God is a blessing. The Holy Spirit inspires life. He is the one who revealed the truth of God's Word. And all of God's Word has the same properties of the tree of life. The tree of life was a literal natural tree, which if a man ate of, he would live forever. It was not a metaphor. It's a real tree. And we see it again in heaven. After Jesus comes back, there's a tree of life, and it gives fruit every month. I believe a new type of fruit grows on it for the healing of the nations. But the same properties of that tree of life is found in the intended meaning of God's Word. What is revealed to restore us has the same benefit of the tree of life. And it also feeds us spiritually. When I listen to the Word of God, there were days, you know, I work on the side so that I can do my radio ministry. And after getting off work, sometimes I'll be bone tired. And I have something to fix in the evening. So I would always play the Word of God when I work at home. I play it loud so I can hear it while I work. And once I turn the Word on, it's like my energy is just renewed and I can work for hours. And when I first started, it was hard, but as I continued doing that, it got easier and easier and easier. While I hear the Word, my spirit man is being fed and I feel strong. And my body got used to it. You will be surprised what you can get used to and how strong you can become. And hearing the Word of God made a big difference. I didn't know that was going to happen, but it happened. And once one of the Psalms said that the Word will heal all of your flesh. Just hearing the Word of God. Healing is in it. Health is in it. Your ability to defeat Satan is in it. As you receive the knowledge of God's Word, your spirit man gets stronger and stronger and fortified. And when the Holy Spirit speaks, you embrace His words because the love of God in you desires it. Everybody is, we're made in God's image. So when people hear the Word of God enough, their appetite for it increases, especially if they don't reject it. But when people get in pride, they become an opponent and they don't want to know God's Word. They want a life that God didn't ordain. And they want to do things that can't work. And they eventually become the enemy of God and His purposes. They become an enemy to the people of God. Because it's a life that can't work. And when we read 1 John, it talks about it. And when we study the scriptures, everybody who turned their heart became an enemy to God's purpose. And in these broadcasts, I pointed out that even anointed people can turn their heart if they want to. Just like King Saul did. Demas did it. He went back to the world. He was anointed. He was an apostle. But he loved the world and went back to it and quit preaching and everything. And just went back to his old, you know, just like a dog returned to his vomit. Tares do it all the time. they lost their first love. And they begin to love something else. And it's dangerous. What we see in the world today, a lot of people know about Jesus. Even people who have never gotten saved, they have heard of Jesus and they came up with another opinion. Or they have a false opinion about it. They knew, they were taught about him, but they didn't embrace him. In this country, you know, we celebrate Christmas. Most of the country celebrates Christmas. And many people celebrate Christmas without being a Christian. The reason people were happy and gave each other gifts is because they were so happy that the whole family gets to live forever. And they gave each other, that's how the tradition started. But even because of Christmas, people know about Jesus. And they know who he is, that he died, and partially what he came to do. But until you believe on him for yourself, it can be a nice story. People can limit it to a fairy tale. But when you believe on Jesus for yourself, the life of God is in you. Your spirit man is brand new. You have a peace that you never had before. And as you receive his word and obey him, you have joy that you never had before. And when the Holy Spirit talks to you, you have wisdom you never had before, or knowledge you never had before, or encouragement that you never had before, strength that you never had before. You fear God like you never did before. As long as you are on, as long as your word, the love of God is in you, it's like you're on. You're ready. You're receptive to the things of God. And that makes all the difference. But what we see in the world today is a combination of things. Many preachers organize their ministry not after the ways of Jesus Christ, but after the ways of Lucifer. We studied this in the last few broadcasts, how he decided one day he was going to usurp authority over every class of angel that was ahead of him. He was going to be like the Most High. And this is a dead man's goal. And people don't, this will not work. This cannot work. And the Lord, he made Lucifer with good intentions. And remember when we talked about how when the Lord selected Paul, I mean, not Paul, King Saul to be king, he was very industrious. He had done nothing. He had done no evil that would cause him not to be chosen. We see him as a very faithful person to the point that Samuel anointed him. But when he began to love his kingdom and his position more than God, that's when he got fired. That's when he got replaced. That's when he lost his position. But he had his anointing. You can't lose your anointing. He was still anointed king. And he said a lot of things as an anointed king, even after he was evil. But he ended up, you know, he tried to kill David. That's bad enough. Then he actually killed the priest that helped David. And they were innocent. They did what they were supposed to do. They thought they were helping Saul himself. They didn't know that Saul was trying to kill David, and David didn't tell them that. But he killed them anyway. 75 priests, he killed them. Then he went and killed the village they came from. He accused them of being evil and killed the whole town that they came from. And we still see him saying things that an anointed king might say. But he died because he sought a witch. If he didn't seek the witch, he probably wouldn't have even died when he did. Vainglory. When people feel like they can do things like the world, or use some of the principles of the world to do the works of God, it always causes problems. And the next generation will think it's okay because this anointed pastor or minister did this. We have to look to Jesus. Sometimes people are not right in their practices. And you have to receive what Jesus gives you through them. Because anointed people can be a blessing to you. They can lay hands and heal you. They can say the right thing strategically at the right time. But it doesn't mean that everything they do is right. And sometimes they need to get saved again because they faltered. But the anointing can still operate in their life. But when you notice things, if you're looking under Jesus, you can tell. You receive revelation and you can judge things better, accurately, because the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. I don't ever try to be hard on people, but whatever the Holy Spirit brings to you is true and is worth looking into. You have to consider what the Holy Spirit says, because it's important. If he say anything, it's very important. And you know it, you can tell when he talked to you, when he warned you. You know, years ago I had a pastor that he said he was anointed and I would listen to him. As unto, you know, I was looking under Jesus and when he said things, it had a lot of weight to it. But the Lord gave me this dream. And I saw him in two conditions. I saw him anointed and I saw him speaking things out of his own mind. And when I woke up, the Lord said, listen to him when I'm using him. And I saw the distinction. So when he spoke under the anointing, I listened to him. When he spoke from his own mind, I wouldn't. And he taught bondage too. He taught the word of God. The Lord gave him messages, but because of the way he thought, he put a bondage spin on it. And I had to, you know, the things that, anything that's not true, it doesn't sit well with the Holy Spirit. You have a check in your spirit. And you just have to learn to pay attention to it. Sometimes people can be so bent on something, and it's in their heart, and it comes out of their mouth. That's how we're designed. But when people feel that, when they're looking to Jesus, they love him, they love his word, they love his people, they love his will. When the Holy Spirit speaks, they're receptive. And they fill their heart with the word of God. Well, then they're going to preach a pure message. But if they have a pet doctrine and the word of God, their message is going to come out like pet doctrine soup with the word of God. You know, when you eat soup, sometimes some ingredients taste better than others. It may have a nice chunk of meat, the right size potato, a little carrot, and then something you really don't want, but it's in there, and you eat it all. Well, that's the same thing with a message. If it's got a religious spin on it, any form of something that's not of God, it altered the meaning of the word. And the only part of that message that's anointed is what God gave him in the first place and the word of God that he's using in the scripture. But what people receive, all of it won't help them. And it causes problems. People make decisions off what they hear. And every time the enemy adds something or add a twist to the word of God, it also adds a form of convenience with it. You know, the enemy, his road, it's a convenient slumber comfort. You don't have to do anything, because in his way, you get people to serve you. In God's way, you serve others. In the world system that Satan made, you get people to serve you. You take their authority and you put yourself above them. And you expect people to treat you like royalty. And everybody that treats you like royalty, those are the kind of people that Satan will promote. Those are the kind of people that worldly pastors promote in their ministry. And they shun, this is what happens. I've seen it too many times. They shun people who love God. And people that look to them in a reverent way, they promote them in ministry. So you can't trust promotion from man. Now, as you walk this road, as you endeavor to study God's word and do what's right, and your main mission is to obey God and do his word, he will promote you. You don't need anybody to promote you. If there's an opportunity for you to be a blessing, be the blessing. You go to church, you want to help the pastor, help him as much as you can. That's the right thing to do. Be a blessing to the ones that minister God's word and help your family heal and learn. Be a blessing to the church. That's first grade. That's first grade. Don't muzzle the ox that tread the corn. Do what's right because it's right. But when people get into mischief, you don't have to be a part of that. And when people don't want you around because you love God, you know, that's when it's time to listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say. And now, I don't say these things lightly. These things really happen. The Lord would give me a message. Usually for the pastor. Now he was training me, and he was alerting them to something, to a need that they had. He wanted his people to follow him, because when that happens, when people follow God, God will he'll position them to where they need to be. He'll help them purge out the deadness of their ministry. Now, I couldn't do that. I just knew it had to happen. But for every individual, I didn't know how to do that. And God didn't teach me how to do that, because that's the Holy Spirit's job. My job was to tell people to allow the Holy Spirit to guide them into his perfect will. But when they loved their own will more, they didn't want to hear that. And some did, some didn't. Most of them didn't. And I couldn't learn this unless I was obedient. And the Lord, he used revelation to show me what was happening. He gave me a word. Then I get to the church. My word is already written down. They're preaching it. That one time, the message was about following God. And everything that I wrote was about following God. And his message, the outline was identical, except his outline had him I want to make it right like it was. The very same, the outline of his message that he preached was designed to make himself look good and receive money and this and things like that. Even the same scriptures and the form of the outline that I wrote, every comment, every part of the outline was like a it was identical to what he was saying, but it was saying Father God. His was saying he had people looking to him. And I'm like, wow. the contrast was so great. And when I gave him that word, he got nervous. When I told him I had a word for him, he got nervous. And I'm watching all this. The Lord had me in a position to see these things. I didn't want to believe anything bad about a person, but the Holy Spirit would show you the truth. And this is what was out there. If the Lord told me, it would have been hard for me to receive. He didn't just tell me, he showed me what was there. He used the way he gave me revelation and had me to deliver. I learned a valuable lesson of what's going on. And you can trace these things all the way back to the Pharisees. Jesus told his disciples once, he said, be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Because he said that because it can get over into the church. But the apostles were on guard about it. The Pharisees was trying to kill them everywhere they go, so they stayed on guard about it. But when they died, which everybody got to die, when they died out, the original apostles, they died out. Then the leaven of the Pharisees crept into the church. And it became so bad we had a dark ages where the gospel wasn't being preached for, you know, all over the world. It was very thin in those days. And people got into witchcraft and all kind of things. The enemy tried to make a stronghold. And Martin Luther in Germany, he was one that helped the church come back to faith. And now I read some of his writings. He had a problem with the Jews. And that wasn't good, but he did get the church to come back to faith. You know, and the word taught us, it teaches us to pray for the peace of Israel, of Jerusalem, because they are God's chosen people. Salvation is Jewish. Isaiah blinded them because they kept getting into idolatry. And God didn't, he couldn't have the cold-hearted leaven of idolatry in the church. But it breeded itself into the same preeminence that Lucifer had in the Pharisees. The leaven of the Pharisees. The only difference is it'll acknowledge that God is God, but it twists the scriptures into the form that they want. So it's really no better than idolatry. They acknowledge God, and they don't get into false idol. That's better than not getting into idolatry. But the twist they put on the scripture is not the God of the Bible. So and Jesus explained this. They wanted the attention that goes to God. They stand when they fast, they make a big deal, a show of it. They dress well, and they wanted the chief places in the congregation. Whenever at the temple, they wanted to be in the best seats. You know, everything was show. And this kind of leaven doesn't need to be in the church. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul made a strong statement. This is 2 in verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not on every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He didn't put himself on a pedestal. He didn't try to act like he was better than everybody. He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He was one of us. And he valued us. Pride cannot value nobody else. The spirit of pride, the leaven of the Pharisees, has no value on others. To a proud man, you are not valuable. You are a commodity. Now to Jesus, you're highly valuable. You're so valuable that he died for you. Now, he washed your feet. When people don't have this kind of heart, they're going to have a problem with the Holy Spirit. 100% of the time. If they don't have a heart to love people the same way Jesus did, they're going to have a problem with the Holy Spirit. Because when it's time for them to act on that kind of love, they're not going to do it. They're going to be in rebellion. I asked the Lord, what is your definition of pride? And he said one word. He said opposition. Opposition. When it's time for you to love your wife and do right by her, you're not going to value her if you're in pride. She won't matter as much. What you desire matters. What you want matters. You're first. Pride never puts anybody first. It can't. They feel cheated. They feel stupid if they care for somebody. Now people, it doesn't come all at once. It starts as leaven. It's a frame of thought. And every sin, every evil thought, everything of opposition, it's got to be rejected or it will creep in like leaven and grow. And over time, it'll be just like a seed. It will grow, and the next thing you know, you're way out in left field. But when it starts, if you don't kill it, it starts turning you against God. And some people have allowed forms of pride to creep in without realizing it. The devil is sneaking. And it begins to alter their thoughts and concepts. It begins to alter the way they treat people. They become picky, petty. They start having a problem with people that love God. Even people that look up to them. They always isolate people that love God. I've been to churches, if you love God, they're not going to have you to minister. Nowhere. You won't teach Sunday school. They really want you to leave. And I know some people say, well, no, what kind of church? They would. you wouldn't have been able to tell unless you were there. They preach good messages. Many times a blessing. But there was that struggle. And I kept running into it. Not just once or twice, many times. But I said, and to the point, I said, Lord, do you have anybody that want to follow you? And I know God, you know, there were churches that were out there that wasn't like that. They just wanted to do it God's way. They didn't care how God wanted to do it. But what they had in common was they loved God's people. They had a high value on people. And Lucifer don't. He's going to exalt his throne above the stars of God. He's going to do all these grand things. And, you know, Isaiah 14, verse 12. It reads, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nation? He was fallen from heaven and cut down to the ground. Because, verse 13 said, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Now he had something to do on the earth and the planets that he was on. He had something to do. But instead of doing what he was supposed to be doing and being the servant that he was designed to be, he was designed to be a servant and be a blessing to people just like Jesus. But he's going to leave his post. He said in his heart, I will ascend into heaven. He's going to leave his post to pursue a mission of pride and put himself first over others that he has no clue how to do what they do. He's going to make himself their boss and try to take God's place and attention. For attention. That's the heart of pride. And that can't be. And everybody that loves pride, they're going to have a problem with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we're out of time. But the Lord is not. God loves us. As we share in his love, we will not have a problem with the Holy Spirit. Now, till next time, remember, I love you. God loves you. And Jesus is our Lord.